Okay, we are in Nedarim, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. A little bit into the Daf. Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Okay, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Ein hachola omed mechalyo ad shemochlin lo akol avarosav. Sounds like a loaded statement, but a person doesn't get better from their sickness until, or once they do, it's indicative of that they have been healed or forgiven for all of their sins. Shenamar hasoleh l'chol avoneichi harofe l'chol tachaluaichi. So pasuk in Iyov, apparently. Rav Hamnuna amar chozer limei alumav. Okay. Oh no, the first one was from Tehillim. Rav Hamnuna said that a person goes back to his days of youth. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I guess it means you get back your full health or something. Shneamar rutafash b'sarel minoar yashuv limei alumav. Okay, I mean he uses the pasuk from the uses the phrase from the pasuk that you have. His flesh is tenderer than a child's. He returns to the days of his youth. Okay. I don't know in what capacity he returns to his youth, but okay. That's what the pasuk implies. Komish kavav after b'chayo. That all of his lying down switched into illness. You overturn all his lying down in his illness. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef Lomar de Mishakeach Talmudo. A sick person forgets his learning. And maybe, on the other hand, he therefore gets it all back when he gets better. I'm not sure what the real point of this line is.
There's a long discussion here about how this is derived, including the possibility that our text isn't the best text.
Okay, interesting. Rashi has a statement here that says, Ratuv Upash. The word Rutafash is somehow related to Pru or Vu. So maybe it means that you can have children again or something. I don't know. Okay. Okay, Rashi says that when it says you go back to your youth, it's like when we say by Sarah that she was like 7 years old. So you go back to your youth and that you don't have sins, like we said before. Okay, interesting. Story time. Rabbi Yosef Chalash. Rabbi Yosef was sick. And because he was sick, as we just explained, or as was just learned from Rav Yosef himself, he forgot his learning. So then Ahadre Abaye Kameh. Abaye came back, and he reviewed all his Torah, and he remembered it because of Abaye. And that's what it means when we say in all these places. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shemia li hada shmaita. I didn't hear this thing. Amar le Abaye, at amrisa nehalan. Umaha Masnisa Amrisa Nihalan. Right? Every time Rav Yosef would say, I don't remember this, or this doesn't sound like something I've ever heard. And then Abaye would come in and say, no, you said it to us like this, and it was from this Brisa, etc. So that's how that's why we find that phrase or that 1-2 discussion. Not often, because Abaye is always constantly remembering and reminding Rabbi Yosef of his learning. Ki have a gamer Rabbi Tlas Esre Ape Hilchasa, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would learn 13 different parts of Halakha. I know what Ape Hilchasa. He would learn it in 13 different ways. So Agmere Rabbi Chia Shiva Min Hon. He would teach Rabbi Chia 7 of those ways. Lesov Cholish Rabbi would get sick. Ahad Rabbi Chia Kameh Hanu Shiva Ape Dagmere. Shita Azdu, Rabbi Chia would teach him or reteach him, remind him of the 7 ways, and the six ways that he couldn't teach him, so then they just were gone, I guess. Hava hahu katsra. There was a certain, I have here, Rashi says a koves, a launderer. I think we said yesterday katsra meant someone who got sick. So here we go, another type of katsra. A launderer, hava shmiya le rebbe, kid to have a garis lahu. And he was learning those halachos that Rabbi Yehuda was teaching. Az Rabbi Chiya v'gamar yason kame katzar v'asa v'hadar yason kame Rabbi. Rabbi Chiya went and learned those halachos from the launderer and then used those to help Rabbi. Was this the other six?
It sounds like it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting.
That's what it says in the art scroll, the six missing versions.
Uh-huh. So Rabbi Chiya would fill in the gaps from this launderer. It's a funny thing to call him. Let's say him a dry cleaner, because launderer sounds nefarious. Okay. Kad havachazi le Rabbi lahu katzara amar le Rabbi. Atas is osiv yas chia. When Rabbi would see this laundry, this dry cleaner, this laundry person, Rabbi would say to him, you made me and Chia. I guess you recreated me because you sort of gave me these halachos that I had forgotten. Or he said like this, you made Chia and then Chia remade me. Okay, interesting use of the word made. Asa. Rashi says, "Chol malamed has ben chaver Torah mala la kasev kilu asa shnemar v'yasanefsher asu b'charan." Very good. This is what Avram and Sarah when they had these converts. So it was as if they created them, because it says in the pasuk, "V'yasanefsher asu b'charan," that when Avram goes to Eretz Yisrael, he brings with him all of the people that he made in Charan. Asu, they made in Charan. Right, and Rashi says famously from the Medrash, Avram Megayres Ha'anashim, Sarah Megayres Es Hanashim. But he uses the word Asu. So to hear Rabbi Yehuda not saying, you made me, or you made Chia, because you taught us the Torah that we had forgotten. From Rabbi Alexandri, or Rabbi Chia never heard in the first place. Another statement from Alexandri. Amar Rabbi Chia Amar Bara, but Gadol Neis Shinasa L'chol Yosum Neis Shinasa L'chanan Mishav Azariah. When a person who is sick gets some kind of miracle on their behalf, it's even greater than the miracle of Hanan Mishael Azariah. Why? Shanan Hashel Hanan Mishael Azariah Eish Shel Hejim. Hanan Mishael Azariah, we're fighting against a physical fire in this world that people created. Vizu Shel Cholah, but the one that the sick person is going through, I don't know if it means literally a fire, meaning their temperature, their fever, or something like that, but that sickness that they got was Shel Shemayim. Right, they got some kind of virus, they got some kind of illness of one kind or another. So that was given to them or warranted from them to them from Hashem. And therefore, miyachul chabosa, for somebody to undo that, for a miracle to happen, then they recover from that. That's a much greater miracle. V'yamar Rabbi Alexandri, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ava, Amri La, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kim Shigia Ketso Shel Adam, Hakom Moshlim Bo. He said, when the end of a person's life comes, so all of the different powers that be are sort of controlling him or trying to kill him, or I don't know what that means. Everything has power over him. As the pasuk says, Shnemar v'haya kol motzi argeni. Is this from Kayan? I think it is. Yeah. Rav Amar min hadenkra. He says, no, it's from this pasuk in Tehillim. I don't know. Okay, I guess Kain is maybe before Matan Torah. I don't know why he would be so particular about this one. But L'mishpatecha amdu hayom ki ha'kol avadecha. Ki ha'kol avadecha. This is in Kuf Yud Tes. I assume in the Lamed section. Once you have been judged, everyone is at Hashem's, is serving Hashem. I mean, when the judgment comes out, so-and-so, is done, so-and-so's life is over, so then everyone works for Hashem to make sure that person dies. Okay. Rabba Bar Shela Amrulei. It's an interesting way to say that people said to Rabba Bar Shela, but okay. Shachiv Gabra, someone died. Gavoa Hava, he was a tall person. Rachiv Giridona, he was riding. Rachiv Giridona Zutra, a small mule. I have a mule. I think it's, maybe there are other interpretations, but Yerash's Parda. Mata Titura Istvit. The mule apparently got scared when it came to a bridge. Yeah, Titura, Rashi says, is a Gesher. Shaje v'kashachiv. Oi, that doesn't sound good. The rider fell off over the bridge. Is that what it means?
Yeah, into the river.
Kari al nav she'le mishmatech amdu hayom. That's what it means, that everyone's trying to do. Hashem is bidding. At that point, the mule recognized that it was a person's time to die, and therefore he died. Obviously difficult for us to understand theologically, but at least theoretically we can understand that Hashem has his ways of taking people from the world, even if they are somewhat abnormal. Shmuel Chazi Lahu Karkurukisa. The akrava yesiva al akrukta v'avranara tarka gavra umayas. So there was a frog and a scorpion. This is the famous story. Scorpion was sitting on a frog, and the frog crossed the river, and the scorpion
stung a man on the other side of the river who died.
Stung a different man? Okay, oh, he's saying the scorpion would not have been over there. The scorpion would have stayed in, by his own, never would have got this other guy, but the frog brought him over to the other side. And then, I'm thinking of a medrash about a scorpion, not the same thing. But the, I think Rashi brings it down, he says it, but not for now. So the scorpion stung a man on the other side of the river, and that man died, that the frog helped the scorpion who was serving Hashem to kill this other man. That's crazy. Okay. I guess scorpions don't typically use frogs as their means of transportation. The fact that it happened here was because they were working for Hashem. The boss told them they got to get something done. They used any means necessary, obviously, unfortunately so. Unfortunately, from our perspective, you know, how could that things like that happen? Okay. Amar Shmuel, Ein Mevakrin Es Hachola Ela Mi Shechalata Tu Chama. You do not visit a sick person unless the person is dealing with a fever.
Yeah.
Chama is like he's hot, he's warm. Okay, laugh. Okay, Mai.
He's wrapped with fever.
Okay. I wonder if there's a number that we're looking for, but okay. Lafoge mai, lafoge hadetanya. This is coming to the exclusion of a brisa of Rabbi Yossi ben Prata Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Ein mevakir lo choli me'ayim lo choli ha'ayim lo mechushi harosh. One should not visit those who are dealing with intestinal illness or with eye illness or with headaches. Okay. Bish lo choli me'ayim. Makes sense when we're talking about someone who's dealing with intestinal issues. So then, Mishum Kisufa, because the person's going to be embarrassed. He's going to have to go to the bathroom all the time. It's going to be a little weird when a person is there. Why can't you visit someone who has a headache and whose eyes are hurting them? Says the Gemara, Mishum de Rav Yehuda. Da'am Rav Yehuda, Dibura Kasha Le'ena, Uma'ale Le'ishasa. That speech is difficult for a person's eyes. Right, you sit there and schmoozing, it's hard for people, I guess, to look up and to look at a person. But it's good for a fever. Okay, I guess that's only for the eye part so far. So, hi, ishasa ilav de farvonka de malacha de mosa. If it weren't for the agent of the malacha maves. So then, ma'ale kechizra d'ledikla, it would be beneficial like thorns of a palm tree. Chad letlasin yomin v'chi tiryaki legufa. If the fever is once every 30 days, you getting this right?
It's good. It's like an antidote.
I guess it's sort of talking about like building immunity. Is that what we're talking about?
I guess it, you know, clean, according to this opinion, it cleans out. It's like an antidote for poison in the body. So it sort of cleans you out. A good fever every 30 days is...
Oh, that's what it means. It like helps it detoxes you or something. I don't know. But what it meant by the thorns for the palm trees was that apparently the thorns on the palm trees are actually beneficial in that nobody comes and takes the fruit, and the fruit get to the dates get to ripen without fear of, I guess, animals or people coming to take it because of the thorns. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Lo Hiv Lo Tiryaka. It's better to have both or neither the poison, the toxins, or the fever. I guess that's true. But once you have the toxin, you know, the poison, so then I guess the fever is not so bad. I can imagine this might be referring to immunity of some kind, but okay. So we didn't say Cholei Arosh. We said that you shouldn't visit a person with eye issues and that you shouldn't visit a person with a headache. So we just did the eye issue because it is somewhat difficult for a person who is trying to talk to you or you're trying to talk to them. So then it just causes them more issues with their eyes. Did I miss something there? I don't think so, but maybe it's both. Maybe both eye things and the headaches are both problematic to like talk. I guess I felt that, but I felt about other things also. That speaking to people can hurt you more sometimes. You know, I don't want to talk today, or I'm not feeling up to it, etc. I don't know. So either way, the reason why the fever. I guess is worthy of visitation is because it's more than just once every 30 days. I don't know. I'm Rabbi Bar Yonas and I'm Rabbi Yechiel. Our son Yafel Chol Refuaso. Our son. I guess we're going to get to what that is. But yeah, my our son. Arson is good for a chola. Doesn't sound like arson is a good thing, but let's see what the Gemara says first. I'm Rabbi Yonasan Chushla Desare Atikasa Deresh Nafya. It is old hulled barley from the beginning of the sifting process. Okay. I'm not exactly sure what you're doing with it. I'm Rabbi Okay. I'm Rabbi Bayan Bishula Kain Bistra de Torah. Barley requires extensive cooking like the meat of a bull. Do people eat bull meat?
Well, I think they point to the bull meat is very tough. Like from bull bill, it's very tough. And so, you know, the opposite of like veal.
Right.
So you need to cook it for, you put in your cholent.
I was going to say, someone should use it this week in the cholent competition. See how that goes over. Okay. Rav Yosef Amar Simide Desare Atikasa Deresh Nafya. Okay, so it's a little bit different. It's the fine flour ground from old barley. Amar Abaye Bayan Bishula Kibisra Torah, you still have to cook it like the meat of a bull. I guess cooked flour maybe becomes some kind of pastry. I don't know. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Bordam also doesn't sound like something which is a good thing.
It's an intestinal illness.
Right. Sounds like boredom. Boredom, ein mevakrim ve'ein maskirin shemo. It's some kind of illness. We don't say the name of it, because it's embarrassing for one that's difficult, that's suffering from it. Okay. And we don't visit a person that has that. As we said before. Oh, so my time up. I'm Rabbi Elazar, Mimneshu Kamayan Hanoveya. It's like a flowing spring. This sounds like diarrhea of some kind. Vim Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lama Nekrishma Bordam, Shu Kamayan Hanoveya. Oh, Bor Dam. Interesting. It's like an endless pit, a bore of blood. Dam. Okay. I understood that it was intestinal, meaning like like your bowels are loosened or something. This sounds like maybe you're actually just you're releasing blood.
It sounds like very bloody diarrhea.
Yeah, something like that.
The explanation seemingly.
Right. Okay. I think back to Nedarim now. Umirapehu refuas hanefesh. You said in the Mishnah, if somebody is not allowed to give benefit to somebody, you are allowed to cure him with refuas hanefesh, but not with physical things. So, Eichi Kitani, what does it mean? Nefesh refuas b'sachar. If what we're talking about is really a financial distinction, that spiritual healing is free, whereas financial or physical healing is paid. So, listen, Eichi, merapeu b'china v'alav b'sachar. We could have asked this about the Torah Shebichsav and other stuff that we said before, but al refuas nefesh gufo, refuas mamu behemto. What does it mean, refuas nefesh? Refuas nefesh must mean their body. Refuas mamu must be with their property. So Amar Rabbi Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, aval Omer lo, sam ploni yafela, sam ploni rala. Oh, it's talking about healing the animal. I thought it meant like using some of his stuff. Okay. So what it says, he can't literally help the animal, but he could say, you know, this thing helps animals and this thing doesn't help the animal. So you can give advice, but it's not considered hana, which is interesting. It's not tangible, maybe. New Mishnah. That was a nice little section about Bikur Cholim. As we talked about on Shabbos, and now we have a little more of a background to what Rabbi Glatt was talking about. The Mishnah says,
you know, it just goes to show that free advice is worth nothing.
Free advice is worth nothing.
Therefore, it's not a benefit.
Right, right. Free advice. It costs you nothing to help somebody out. V'roche tzimo bambati gedola. You are allowed. The person doesn't have who's not allowed to get any benefit. You can bathe with him in a large bath. Valobagatana. Okay. I hope we'll figure out what that means.
His presence doesn't affect the other person, as contrasted with what we're going to get to now.
And he's allowed to sleep with him in bed. I see in the notes here, maybe the Gemara's going to get to it also, but I see in the notes here, and Rashi seems to say this also, that the reason why it's a problem in the bath is because the person is, you know, making the temperature better for them. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. In either direction, the person's presence can help them.
In the small bath as opposed to the very large, like right. They're in a swimming pool together at opposite ends.
Right, it's not really going to help if you're in such a large body of water. I was one of the first ones into the hot mikveh before Yom Kippur over here. It was burning hot. I could have used some other people to cool it down before me. So I think I would not have understood it if I didn't have that experience. As opposed to the Arizal's mikveh. Didn't matter how many people went into that mikveh, it was freezing cold in Tzfat. If those of you have been, it's like an experience, whatever. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'imos hachama, aval lo b'imos hageshamim. When we're talking about the times of summer, so then he's not allowed, so that's when we're saying that it's okay to sleep with each other. Aval lo b'imos hageshamim, but not in the winter time, because in the winter you get more benefit from the warmth of the person's body. because it gives benefit. But he's allowed to recline with him on the bed, even during the winter, because there's no benefit to recline on the same bed. Okay, I'm not really sure what the reality is there, but I just assume they're not right next to each other. You can't eat on the same table. You can't eat from the same platter. That's weird. Rashi says, "Biyachad mishim marba bal habayis b'shvilo." I guess because you're eating from the same dishes, so one is going to try to help the other, either give them some leftovers or the person to make them more food. I don't know. But if a person's getting, leftovers. And there's no, interaction between the people that are eating from this plate. So then it's not like a direct benefit from the other person. Tanya, the Braisa says, Lo yirchatima be'ambati, v'lo yishanima b'mita. A person should not bathe in the bath with the other person, and you should not sleep in the same bed. It doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is. Interesting, that makes it the same distinction about the bed. Maybe that's what we were talking about before. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gedol bimos ha-gishamim, uktana bimos ha-cham ha-mutter. That the big bath in the wintertime is okay, and the small bath in the summertime is okay. This is also referring to the bed. I guess so. Ruchi tzimo bambati gedol ma-ziyem ha-viktana. That a person's allowed to go into a large body of water or a large bath of water with another person, and he's allowed to sweat with him in the shvitz afterwards, even if it's a small one. Okay, if there's another bath, which is smaller, so then if it's just causing sweat, that's okay. Rochi tzimam b'adik ufain, aval mesa vimo al hamitza v'yoch limo al shulchan aval lomina tamchoi. You're always allowed to recline on the same bed. I imagine this maybe not be like a literal bed. It might be some kind of just like relaxing, hammock or something. I don't know. But you're allowed to eat with them on the same table, but not from the same platter. As I said before, the leftovers that no one's really interacting about anymore. Specifically, the platter that was returned to the host that was giving the meal. And therefore, this sort of the eating process or the hosting process is over. Again, I guess it prevents that interaction. Maybe there's a long Rashi on here. Rashi has a lot to say on this one. Either way, says the new Mishnah, Lo yochal imo min ha'evos shelifnei ha'poalim. A person is not allowed to benefit from the large trough of food placed in front of the workers. I assume this is because of a vow, but okay. Lo yaseimo b'uman, and he should not work with him in the same place in the vineyard. Divrei Rabbi Meir, v'chacham omrim osa v'hu berachol k'mani. You can, as long as they're far away from each other. I guess because the other person is going to give to the other person. I don't know. Says the Gemara, b'karov lo pligi daser. Everyone agrees that it's a problem if they're next to each other. Ki pligi b'richot. The question is, when they're far away, are we worried? Rabbi Meir, savar gazrin rachok mishum karov. Rabbi Meir is worried that they're going to come closer to each other. The kamerapile la'ara kameh. He loosens the dirt for the other one. I guess if they're working the field and the person is, working over there, and then the next one's going to come down the line and it's going to benefit from the loosened dirt. Rabbanan said, "Look, I Rabbanan say, no, we're not worried about that. It's not going to be as explicit, maybe. I don't know." Okay, shkach. Lots of somewhat vague phrases at the end there, with not a lot of Gemara, but. Suffice it to say, different ways of benefiting other people that are problematic if you have a vow against them. Okay, Shkach, we'll pick up Mir Tashem also on Zoom tomorrow. Sorry, got to do carpool. Also on Zoom tomorrow, Mem Beis Amud Aleph.